And so I'm thankful today that we get to celebrate together because, you know, we're a little less than 3 days away. A little less than 3 days away from Christmas. And when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Jesus. Amen? That's what Christmas is all about. As much as I love the trees and the lights and the decorations, as much as I love the food, my goodness, right? I mean, Molly brought us some treats this morning, and I could smell them when I walked in the door, and I said, oh, I hope those are for me. And she had them right there, sitting right there. So she told me she was bringing them, and I was looking forward to them. Listen, I love that. I love the Christmas songs. I mean, I've been listening to them since, well, January of last year, and haven't really stopped. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to keep listening to them after Christmas Day. But I love all of the stuff, right? I do. But I'm always reminded that Christmas is not about these trees. It's not about these lights. It's not about that food. It's all about Jesus. And as Christ followers, we got to make sure that we focus on Jesus during the Christmas season because Christmas, and I've said this already, but Christmas, right? The Christmas story, it's actually the greatest love story that's ever been told. When you look at the Christmas story in the Bible, it is God's love letter to you and to me. So the Christmas story, the greatest love story that's ever been told. And we've already been looking into the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. So Luke, what he does is he shares his gospel account of Jesus Christ because he wants us to have certainty. That's what he says in chapter 1. He wants us to be certain of the Word of God. God's Word is truth. It is life and it is light. And so Luke shares his gospel so that you and I can be certain of God's word today. Not only that, Luke shares his gospel account of Jesus because he wants us to be a people of rejoicing. He wants us to rejoice in Jesus. And listen, I think about this all the time. There's a little bit of Christmas fire. There's a little bit of Christmas spirit in us right now. I mean, listen. We went shopping the other night, and Marty was looking for some shoes. It wasn't me this time, okay? I wasn't looking for shoes. Marty was looking for shoes, and even the people working in the store just had a little pep in their step. Their smile just seemed a little bit bigger, and we were talking. There were a couple of girls there that were in front of us, and I noticed one of them had on her ULM BCM shirt, and I said, hey, Baptist Christian Ministries, I know Brother Chad, and she said, yeah. And the guy behind us, or the guy behind the register, he actually heard our conversation. And they said, well, how do you know Brother Chad? And I said, well, I'm the pastor at Start Baptist Church, and I've come to speak at the BCM several times. And the guy at the register said, hey, man, thank you for preaching the word, and I'm going to be praying for you. Like, he just was so full of this energy. I believe in that moment we were rejoicing. We were rejoicing together, brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe we didn't go to the same church. Maybe we didn't even know each other, but we focused on Jesus, right? And we understood that the reason, right, that we had joy was because of Jesus. And I believe Luke shares his gospel account to remind us that we should be a people of rejoicing. And it's not just about Christmas. We ought to be a people of rejoicing come January 1st. We ought to be a people of rejoicing on June 1st. We ought to be full of joy because we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so that's why Luke shares his gospel. Be certain of God's word. Be a people of rejoicing. But as we saw last week, Luke also shares his gospel account of Jesus because he wants us to experience mercy. He wants us to experience the mercy of God. We saw that in Zechariah's life. We saw that in Elizabeth's life. But it's not just experience mercy and just keep it for ourselves. Luke shares his gospel account because he wants us to know God's mercy for ourselves, but then to be vessels of that same mercy to anyone and everyone we come in contact with. And so I believe we've already seen three very important truths in the first chapter of Luke chapter 1. Certainty of God's word, people of rejoicing, and experiencers of God's mercy, and also ones who share that mercy. And then today, we come to Luke chapter 2. And what we see in Luke chapter 2 is that Jesus came. Jesus came. Why did he come? I'll tell you. It's real simple. Jesus came to save us from our sin, and he came to give us full and eternal life. That's why Jesus came. When his disciples asked him, he told them, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus was very clear of why he was here, why he came, and what he came to do. And so that's what we celebrate. We celebrate Jesus, the one who saves us from our sin and the one who gives us life, full life, and not just full life right here and now, but eternal life forever and ever. Do you know that all of the Old Testament promises of God, all of them, all of the prophecies that came through the prophets of God, they pointed to Jesus? Did you know that? All of the promises in the Old Testament that God gave his people, they pointed to Jesus. When the prophets were given the word of God to speak, all of their prophecies were pointing to Jesus. And so I believe that Luke also shares his gospel account of Jesus Christ because he wants us to have the knowledge of Jesus. But more than that, Luke wants us to have that relationship with Jesus, that personal relationship with Jesus. Listen to me. It's not enough just to know who Jesus is. It's not enough to just know what Jesus came to do. It has to be personal. You have to move from this place of knowledge to this place called belief. You have to believe that Jesus truly came, that Jesus truly lived, that Jesus truly died on the cross, and that Jesus truly resurrected, that he was raised up from the dead to defeat sin and death, but not just anybody's sin and death, yours and mine. And so I've got more than just a knowledge of Jesus Christ. I've got a belief in Jesus Christ. And that's why I have joy today. And that's why I want to preach to the top of my lungs today. So if your ears are ringing, I apologize, but I don't. Okay? Because I'm going to get a little loud for my Jesus. Is that okay? All right. So in Luke chapter 2, let's look at the first 7 verses. Because in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, what we have is we have the greatest fulfillment of promise and prophecy ever. Jesus is the greatest fulfillment of promise and prophecy ever. Listen to what the Bible says. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. The first 7 verses of Luke chapter 2 are the greatest fulfillment of promise and prophecy ever. One of the very first promises that God ever made to us, ever made to this world, was actually found in Genesis chapter 3. He was cursing the serpent and he said, all the days of your life you will crawl on your belly. You will eat dust, but her child, her son, will come, and he will crush your head while you strike his heel. Do you know who Jesus was promising? Who God was promising? He was promising Jesus. He was promising in Genesis chapter 3, before we ever see the word Jesus, he was promising Jesus. When Isaiah prophesied, and I love the book of Isaiah, and I love the prophecies of Isaiah, but when Isaiah was prophesying, he prophesied that there would be a virgin that would give birth to a son, and they would call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was prophesying Jesus, and so right here in Luke chapter 2, we see the greatest fulfillment ever of any promise, of any prophecy that's ever been spoken. When Jesus is born, promise and prophecy are fulfilled. You remember what I always tell you about God? God's a promise maker. He's made lots of promises. You also know what I tell you about God? He's a promise keeper. Because every promise he's ever made, he's kept. And the greatest promise he ever made was Jesus is going to come. And right here in Luke chapter 2, after many, many years, he kept his promise. The hope of the world came to us in a humble place, right? The town of Bethlehem. The hope of the world came to us in a humble little manger. And so the greatness of God unfolds in that humble place, in that humble manger with Emmanuel, with a son born of a virgin whose name is Jesus. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the greatest fulfillment of promise and prophecy ever. That's who Jesus is. And that promise and that prophecy was not just for the people who lived in the Old Testament. It was the people who were living that day when Jesus was born. And it's the promise and the prophecy for us today, right here in Start, Louisiana in 2024. God is good, amen? Amen. So as we continue to read, what we see is in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 21, we have the greatest announcement ever. It's the greatest announcement of good news for all people. Now look, me and you, we always got some great announcements, right? We do. We like to announce when our child is graduating kindergarten or our child is graduating high school. We like to announce when we got a new job, right? We like to announce when a new little baby is born, right? We like to make announcements. We like to make announcements when our children get engaged, don't we, mamas and daddies? Yeah, we like to make that announcement. Okay, I'm with you on that. But I'm going to just tell you something. There ain't nothing you can announce that's greater than this announcement. There ain't nothing I can announce that's greater than this announcement. Are you ready? The greatest announcement of good news for all people right here in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Again, I love this passage of Scripture because in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, we see the greatest fulfillment of promise and prophecy that had ever been told. And now in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 21, we see the greatest announcement that has ever been told, and it was for all people. So when the angels came, they came to shepherds out in the field. Do you think that's a coincidence? Why didn't the angels appear in the castles and in the high places? Why didn't the angel appear at the temple and the temple courts to all of those quote-unquote religious people? Have you ever thought about that? No, the angels appeared in all of their glory to those poor shepherds out in the middle of nowhere, out in the middle of the fields. I love Pastor Joby Martin. He's one of my favorite preachers. And Pastor Joby tells us that the shepherds were lowly and humble people. They were considered by many to be filthy and unclean. They were considered by the religious people and the temple people to be ceremonial unclean and religiously unclean. And so the shepherds were not allowed in the temples. They were not allowed in the sanctuaries. Let me ask you again. Do you think it was just a coincidence or an accident that the angels went to the shepherds to tell them the good news? Here's the truth. The good news is for everybody. Those who think they're clean and those who know they're not clean. Those who think they got it all together. Notice I didn't say those who have it all together. I said those who think they have it all together. And for those who know they don't have it all together. The angels appeared to those who were lowly and those who were humble. And so God sent the angel. God sent the angels and the angels to shepherds. God sent his angels to tell them, hey, good news for you. Good news for you. Not good news just for the people who think they got it all together and who think they're ready for it. No, the good news is for you too. The ones who are looked down upon. The ones who are lowly and humbly living in places where nobody wants to be. Oh, this good news is for you too. And the good news is Jesus is born. Jesus is born. And so they responded. Listen, they responded to the good news. At first when the angel came, the Bible said they were terrified. Sounds a lot like Zechariah. Sounds a lot like Elizabeth. Sounds a lot like Mary, right? They were terrified too because, listen, when the angels came, they came in glory. I mean, that's their purpose. Their purpose is to glorify God. And so God created the angels as glorious beings. And so the shepherds responded with terror at first. And what did the angel say to the shepherds? Much like he said to Zechariah, much like he said to Elizabeth, much like he said to Mary. He said, hey, don't be afraid. I'm not here to strike you down. I'm here to fill you up. I'm here to fill you up with some good news. Good news that will change your lives forever. Today, in the city of David. Today in Bethlehem. Today in a humble little manger. A Savior has been born. A Savior for you. And so the shepherds, they responded by going to Jesus. By seeing Jesus face to face. And when they got there and they saw him, I just believe they gave him praise. I believe they gave him honor. I believe they gave him glory. I believe they were amazed at what God had done to them and for them and through Jesus Christ. How do I believe they responded that way? Because of the way they left. How did they leave? Did they leave and just kind of walk around like, that's pretty cool? No. It says they hurried off, and what did they do? They spread the news. They spread the news to everyone. Let me ask you a question. When somebody comes to you and they share that something has been done in their life that they've been praying for, praying about, how do you respond to them? Right? Are you excited for them? Do you share with them in their joy? And then when somebody comes and they share with you a great announcement that doesn't just affect them, it affects you as a listener. How do you respond to that announcement? I believe we probably respond with joy, right? We respond with excitement. We respond with celebration. So let me ask you this. What are you going to do with the greatest love story that's ever been told? What are you going to do with the greatest love story that's ever been told? What are you going to do with the Christmas story, right? Are you going to wait until next year, right? Are you going to wait until next year after Halloween or after Thanksgiving to think about the greatest love story that's ever been told, the Christmas story, right? Now listen, I don't care when you put your decorations out because I'm going to put mine out when I want to, okay? So you put yours out when you want to. I'm going to start listening to Christmas music. Well, I ain't going to stop listening to Christmas music. How about that? Okay? You can stop listening to Christmas music and you can pull it out in November or December of next year. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Christmas story. I'm talking about the Christmas love story, the greatest one that's ever been told. Are you going to put it up with your trees? Are you going to put it up with your Christmas music? Are you going to put it away until next year? That's my question. What are you going to do with that story? Here's what I pray, right? My prayer today is really simple. It's really simple. My prayer is this. Let's celebrate Jesus today and keep on celebrating Jesus every day. And let's share Jesus with everyone, everywhere. Everyone, everywhere. That fire you have right now to celebrate the birth of Jesus, let that fire continue to burn and fan that flame, right? Fan that flame in your heart and your mind and let that fire keep on burning on January 1st. And go out and tell people about the greatest love story that's ever been told. Go out and tell people about the greatest fulfillment of promise and prophecy that's ever been given. Go out and tell people about that greatest announcement that's ever been told. Because I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of people living in this world who don't believe they belong. There are a lot of people in this world who feel like they have missed the mark so many times, they're not going to have a chance to hit the mark ever again. There's a lot of people today in this world. Maybe there's some people sitting in this room today, right, that feel like they've blown it with God. They feel like they don't have a voice anymore. They feel like they don't have a testimony to tell anymore. There's a lot of people today that just don't feel like they can serve, don't feel like they can do because of where they are and who they are and how they've blown it. I'm going to tell you something. You're just the kind of person, and those are just the kind of people that the angels have a message for. If you are lowly today in spirit, if you are humble today, whether by your own humbling or by God humbling you, you need to hear the message that the angels gave the shepherds today. Unto you is born the Savior of the world. That Savior is for you. He came to save you. He came to seek you and save you. And he came to give you life. Full life right here and right now, and eternal life forever and ever and ever. His name is Jesus. It's the name he was given before Mary even conceived. Jesus. He is the reason for Christmas. He is the reason we celebrate. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be one who points people to the certainty of God's word. I want to point people to the certainty of God's word. If God says it, you can believe it. Why? Because it is truth, it is life, and it is light. Go read John chapter 1. You'll see what I'm talking about. The Word was with him, and the Word created, and the Word became flesh, and the Word is the light, and the Word is the life of all mankind. See, I ain't making that up. That's the certainty of God's word. But I also want to point people. I want to lead people in rejoicing. Listen, it's not about what you feel like, because there's going to be times when you don't feel good. There's going to be times when you don't feel happy. There's going to be times when you just don't feel like singing. But I'm going to tell you something. You can still rejoice. You can still rejoice. You want to know why? Because even in the struggle, even in the hurt, and even in the pain, my God's got joy for you. And my God's got joy for me. And if we have joy, then what we can do is we can express it by rejoicing. See? Joy is a noun. It's something you possess. But rejoicing is a verb. It's something you express. And you can express joy even in a struggle, even in hurt, even in pain. Especially when you focus on Jesus. Amen? Because you may not have nothing else in this world, but I'm going to tell you something. If you got Jesus, you got enough. If you got Jesus, you got enough. And so I want to point people to the certainty of God's word. I want to point people to rejoicing, to seeing Jesus and knowing that God loves them. And also, I want to point people to the mercy of God. And the only way I can point people to the mercy of God is understand my own desperation for it. I'm desperate for the mercy of God. I have no position. I have no place. I have nothing if I don't have Jesus. But when I have Jesus, I have the mercy of God. You know what that means? That means I didn't earn it and I can't deserve it. I didn't earn it, and I can't work my way to God's love. I can't position my way to God's love. I can't money my way to God's love. Here it is. It's his free gift to me. It's undeserved. It's unearned. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were unclean and unworthy and undeserving, Christ died for us. It's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You want to know the beauty of the Christmas story? Before Christ could ever die for us, he had to come to us. Before we could ever celebrate Easter, which is the greatest day, the greatest day that a Christ follower can celebrate, there had to be a Christmas. There had to be a birth. Because see, when Jesus came to us, he also lived for us. And he lived perfectly. He lived righteously. You want to know why? Because you and I never could. We couldn't live perfect and we couldn't live righteous. So Jesus did it for us. And at the right time and in the right place, Jesus died on the cross. Died on the cross for you and for me. He died for us while we were still sinners. Jesus dying on the cross, his blood spilt, was God's demonstration for us of his great love. The greatest love story ever told. It's Jesus. Perfect life, sacrificial death, glorious resurrection. Because when they put him to death on the cross, they put him in a grave. And those religious leaders said, roll that heavy stone so that he can't come out and so nobody can go in and get him. See, they thought they were done with Jesus. But guess what? Jesus, he came out of that grave. Because that stone was rolled away, right? And listen to me. That ain't nothing man did. That's what God did. God rolled that stone away, and God raised him from the dead, and he defeated sin and death, and he did that forever and ever for everyone who would repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in him. I'm going to tell you what. We got a lot to celebrate at Christmas, don't we? Amen. See, you thought you were coming to hear a Christmas sermon. Well, I just gave you all of it, right? I gave you Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter all at once. You might think I'm going to give you the night off. I'm not. Come back tonight because we're going to have candlelight Christmas and we're going to sing about this Jesus who came. The greatest fulfillment of promise and prophecy ever. His name is Jesus. The greatest announcement that has ever been told to all people. His name is Jesus. My prayer is that we will respond like those shepherds. Humbly praising God and humbly going out and telling everybody we can about this Jesus who was born. This Jesus who lived perfectly. This Jesus who died sacrificially. This Jesus who rose again victoriously. And this Jesus who's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. As excited as I am about Christmas, I'm even more excited about that resurrection day when I will meet my Jesus face to face, whether through my death or whether through my resurrection when he parts them clouds and I meet him in the air. I'm going to see him again. Amen? Amen. The greatest love story ever told. It's the Christmas story. How have you responded? How will you respond?